No, I'll take it away.
Right, so for those of you who don't know, I'm Faith. I did from grade 7 all the way to grade 12 in this youth. So this is kind of both nerve-wracking and exciting. I'm wearing this shirt because, yes, I did go to a Calgary school. I don't cheer for the Flames, but I thought I need to wear something to represent Calgary. But I'm a hockey fanatic. So yeah. There we go. So what I'm going to be talking about, is fear, and I decided to call this the consequence of believing every lie. So a few things like that I really learned about this is when we leave home, we have this idea that if we go to a Christian university or we give this year to God and we go to YWAM or JSEM, whatever we're going through, we have this idea that when we go, we're going to be immediately embraced by other Christians. And so we're kind of like, yeah, this is going to be fun. God's going to be here and he's going to show up in crazy ways. And what I found is I went out and all of a sudden my church isn't there. My parents aren't there. My friends aren't there. Everybody who helped me build my faith isn't there anymore. My community of faith isn't there. And suddenly I'm like, I'm by myself. Oh no, like what's happening here? Like I'm by myself, I'm freaking out. Where is God? And like it was crazy because we go into classes and you start hanging out with people and everyone's like, who are you? Who are you? Well, what's your name? Who are you? Who are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm Faith. I like hockey. help. but who are you? That's a huge question. And the world is saying, when you go to university, you're gonna figure out who you are. This is your time to find out who you are, who people say you are, what the world thinks you are. This is your time to figure it out. And it's daunting because you're like, but I don't know who I am. So, I mean, is it maybe I'm, so for me, I'm into hockey. So I'm a hockey fan. That's who I am. That's who I am in the world. I'm a hockey fan. I cheer for this team. This is my team. I'm gonna pull myself into this. Or maybe it's your degree. I was in behavioral science. So I'm a behavioral science student. I'm going to take these courses, and this is who I am. Then, or with family, it's like, well, who are you? I'm a university student. I go to university. That's who I am. And it's hard because you're not sure who you are, and to one person, maybe you're this. To another person, you're this. And you suddenly you're like in this mix of, I don't know who I am anymore. And you don't have this community of faith to fall back and be like, help, guys, who are really terrifying. Another thing I found was sitting in class. I went to this one Bible class and like a lot of things, it was great, but a lot of things that I was like, I don't know if that's true. That sounds off, but this is a Bible course. So it should be right. And I was like, but this belief doesn't seem to fit into what I believe, but I don't know who I am. So that's okay. So I'll just believe this. And so what I really learned was you have to be on guard. You can't go into these places thinking it's okay, I'll be fine. As soon as I get there, God will have me. I don't need to worry about finding him and finding a community. And in part, that's true, because God's always here. But the thing is, even if it's Christian, people aren't going to be those supports you can fall back on. They're not going to be what you think they are. And in that environment, everybody is searching in their own way, and it's not going to line up with you all the time. And I mean, I loved university. I'm so glad I went. I'm glad I gave God that year of shaping who I am and, like took that time to be in that university, that Christian university. But he also showed me that you can't go into that thinking you'll be okay. You need to keep your guard up because so quickly, you can just get sucked down into this like lie after lie, or this. I'm okay. This is okay. Everyone around me is doing it because they're Christian. Well, yeah, they're Christian, but they don't always know the right thing because sometimes they're not going back to the Bible. And that's another thing I really learned was I was putting my faith into these people. I wasn't really digging into the word here or whatever. I was like, it's okay, people have me. If I fall, people will have me. And they didn't have me there. I fell. Nobody said, hey, Faith, that's wrong. What you're doing, it's not okay. But let me help you. Nobody said that. Nobody was there to say, I think this is wrong and it doesn't line up with the Bible. And so when this class came where I was struggling because I didn't think the beliefs were lining up with what I had heard, that's when I really learned this lesson of you got to go back to the Bible. You got to dig into scripture because the world is going to throw things at you and maybe they sound good in theory. Maybe they sound Christian, but you cannot, even if it said Christian, you cannot just open your heart to believing that. You need to go back to the word because the only truth is him. And after I started really digging and talking to people and listening to, like, I started listening to sermons online, this revelation God gave to me, it says, stop worrying about who you are. And I was like, what? He's like, I decided who you were before you were born. And I was like, you don't know, you can't do that. Like, no way, no, that's not possible because you develop who you are over time. He's like, no. Look in the word. Go back to my word. And look, I have decided who you were. You are chosen. You're adopted. You're a son and daughter. You're the royal priesthood. You are Israel. That is who you are. And I was like, what? Okay. And suddenly, you know, this, like, just peace settled over me. And I was like, I don't have to, like, figure out who I am because I know who I am. And that's, like, something that I really just encourage you guys to, like, just believe that. You don't need to worry about who you are because who you are is right here. It's right in here. Who you are is in these pages. That's who you are. And actually listening to one of the sermons, something really cool that I heard was, you are Israel, and Israel means one who wrestles with God. I was like, whoa, you know, I can wrestle with him. I can struggle. Why is this wrong? Why does this seem wrong? Why does this seem right? I can wrestle with him. I don't need to stand there and be like, all right, God told me to go and do this, so I'm going like a soldier. No questions asked. He's like, it's okay. You can ask me questions. You can wrestle with me. Get personal. I don't want you to be a robot. I want you to be personal. Be who I created you to be. And, you know, that is awesome. That's great. And we hear that from Chris all the time. We do the identity series. This is who you are. You know, you're significant, all this stuff. I've heard it. I've heard it all. I've been through that talk. But I still doubted it. I still doubted who I was. I still doubted that, you know, I was these things. I never doubted God's existence, but I doubted who I was in him. And I was like, you know, I was always very, like, doubtful and fearful and all these things. Like, I've dealt with anxiety for most of my life and lots of things like that. And I was listening to another sermon, and he was talking about this book. And this book, it's a Russian book. I cannot say the name. It's very hard to pronounce. Cannot say the author. But what the author said was, fear is the consequence of believing every lie. And I was like, hold up, what? And he's really digging, and the guy who was speaking started really digging into what this phrase meant. And he started talking about how when we're afraid, it's because we're believing a lie. And that made me freeze because I was like, wait, what? Like, I think I'm just irrationally afraid. Like, I think I'm just scared of the dark because I'm scared of the dark because it's dark. Very simple. And so I really started, I sat there and I started meditating on this and started praying through this and thinking about it. And I started thinking, okay, let's try this. Let's see if there's a root behind this fear. So I was like, okay, sit down, close my eyes. What am I most afraid of? I'm like, I'm afraid of being alone. I'm afraid that I am not wanted. I'm afraid that I'm abandoned by my parents, by my friends, by the church, and by God. And suddenly I was like, there's the root right there. I don't believe this truth that I'm chosen, that I'm adopted. I'm believing this lie that I am alone, I am unwanted, I'm unloved. That's the lie I'm believing, and I'm afraid. And suddenly, I started thinking back on my life, and I was like, everything I do or I did came out of this fear, this lie. Everything I did, whether it was to act all wild and crazy in front of like my friends and do something stupid, why did I do that? I did it because I wanted attention, because I didn't want to be alone. And I thought if I stood there, people are going to pass me by. They're not going to care about me. I got into high school and then even in university, and then suddenly I was like, I need a boyfriend. I need a boyfriend. I need a man in my life. I just need love from a guy, and it'll be okay. My life will be okay. And I got that, but something was still missing. And I was like, it's because I'm believing this lie that they're not gonna love me. They're gonna leave me. If I don't do things properly, if I don't be the perfect girlfriend or the perfect person, no one's gonna love me. They're not gonna love me. And, time after time after time, everything I did, even in front of if it was my parents, if I rebelled against them, it was to get their attention. Everything I did was this attention grabber because I was afraid I was alone. And, it's crazy to think back and realize everything I do is coming from a lie. I am living a lie. Like, my entire life is a lie. And, I lived in this dark, secretive place of, no, people can't know that about me because I'm not perfect and they won't want me. Oh, no, that's bad. I won't talk about this because if they hear this about me, they won't want me. If I talk about God, well, then these people who aren't Christian, they're not going to want to hang out with me. They're going to shun me. And if I talk about what I do with my non-Christian friends, with my Christian friends, no. That's terrible. My Christian friends, the church, they're going to disown me. They're going to be like, no, you sinner, get out of here. We don't want you. And if I talk about God with the other people, they're going to be like, no, you're too much of a Christ follower. We don't want you in our group. And so suddenly, I'm two-faced. I'm living this lie. You can't do that. They are going to meet eventually. And, it was so hard to realize this. And I felt really bad because I'm like, I don't know who I am because I've been living a lie. So who am I? And suddenly this song came on, and I was in a church in another town, and this song came on. And the lyrics were, "The enemy can't take what I have because I belong to you." And all of a sudden it clicked. It was like God opened my eyes to see the truth that, yeah, you lived a lie, but you know who you are. You know that. You lived a lie, but you are not the lie. You are not the lie. You are this. You are chosen. You are not this lie. And suddenly I was like, oh my gosh, like this makes so much sense. I'm not a lie. I am a child of God. And so, like who I am, my name is not Faith. My name is chosen, adopted, beloved one. That's who I am to him. Yeah, that's what my parents gave me, but that is my name to him. And you know what? That's also your name. That's not just my name, because he chose and he loves every single one. And you know, I started to replace this lie, to dig into the scriptures, to read through and to find the truths to replace that lie. Because you can acknowledge that lie, but if you don't do anything about that lie, it's still a lie and you're still gonna believe it. You're still gonna fall into it. But when you start to replace that with the truth and love, it changes everything. And that lie disappears and suddenly you're not afraid. You're not afraid that you're not wanted. You're not afraid that you're alone, because regardless of if people abandon you, he's never going to leave you, ever. And it's like, he's like, stop focusing on your past actions. Stop focusing on these sins. Start looking to the cross, focusing on what I did for you. Stop living for me. Start living because of me. And I was like, that sounds really weird. That sounds like a contradiction. Don't live for God? What? Like, crazy, right? No, but here's the thing. We were created from an overflow of love. When he created us in the beginning, he said, let us create man in our image. He's not only recognizing that Jesus and the Holy Spirit were there with him, he's acknowledging that he created us out of a community. He didn't need us because he was already complete, a complete community. But he created us out of this love and out of this community. So instead of trying to live for him and do everything right and go out and be like, okay, I gotta evangelize to this person, I gotta feed the poor, I gotta, like, adopt. What? He's like, no. Live because of me. You know that you were created from the overflow. Why aren't you living an overflow as well? You know, I started thinking about that. If God loves me so much and cares about me so much, wouldn't I want to share that with other people? If he's adopted me into his family, if I can adopt someone into mine just a little bit and show his love to them, it doesn't matter if that person never believes. Doesn't matter if that person hates me, doesn't like me, because, you know, he loved me. And if I can just live like he does, that's enough. He doesn't need you to do anything. Because if there's a need, then it's you feel like you constantly have to live up to something. He wants you, regardless of your stains, your sin, everything. You know, when you fall, he's not like, no, I'm not touching you. You got blood all over you. You clean that up first, and then I'll help you. He's like, here, let me clean the blood for you. And that's the thing. He doesn't need you, but he desperately wants you. And he's calling you to that. You know, it's really crazy to me how much he loves me. And there's this really cool example, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to show you this. All right. It kind of to show how God thinks of us, of what he provides for us. So now this water bottle, and it's is it half empty or half full? We're going to pick out the pessimist and optimist. No, just kidding. But it's half empty or it's half full. Your choice. But how am I going to fill this up? How am I going to get this full? What am I going to do? Good. How am I going to fill it up? Yeah. I could go pour more water into this, right? And I fill it up. That's what we think. Hey, like, you know, we don't have enough God. We don't have enough of him. You know, we're worried. Oh, no, we don't have enough of God. And let's go to the water cooler or to the cool thing is, someone showed me another way to fill this up. I don't want to spill it. You don't need more God. You just need less of yourself. And that's something he really taught me, is stop going and going to church, going to youth, going to these things because you think that you need more of God. You know, stop thinking that I need to do this. I need more God. I'm not good enough. He doesn't want me. I know who I am, and I'm not believing this lie or this fear, but in order to stop believing that, I need more God. No. You don't. You don't need more God. Because he's given you everything you need. In 2 Peter, find it. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, he says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. You don't need more God. He's given you everything you need to live a godly life. Whatever that is, it's enough. It's enough. You don't need more. You don't need to be worried. He's given you everything. Maybe it's time to stop focusing on yourself and how little or how much you can provide, and start focusing on him and how much he's already provided for you. And I guess for me, my encouragement would be, yeah, definitely, you know, go out, take a year. You know, it doesn't have to be YWAM. Maybe it's a Bible school. Maybe it's like Ambrose, a university. You know, maybe you want to just take a year off of school and everything to just work and focus on your community and be here, be present. But be on guard. Don't let your guard down, regardless of what you do. Because the minute you let your guard down, that's when that fear, that's when that lie creeps back in. So just, honestly, just stay on guard, because, yeah, the world is going to do everything in its power to break that guard. And in order to build this guard, to prevent this lie and this fear, just dig into scripture, you know? And it's awesome to come places like this, not to, like, I need more God, but I want to know what he's done. I want to know of his glory and goodness. I want to know about him. I want to know what he's doing in me. Because it comes from knowledge of his glory and goodness. That's where you get godly life. You don't get it from knowing everything about the church, knowing or sitting in the front row, or singing the best, worshiping the best, being the best at everything. It's about really knowing him, knowing who he is, and knowing who you are. And that would be, yeah, that's my biggest encouragement to you guys, is just be on guard. Know who you are. Dig into the word. I have a little video that kind of sums this up, and it'll make a lot of sense of where this fear lie thing comes from. So we can just play it. Okay, we're good. Okay. But I'm just going to say a little prayer, one that has really encouraged me. It's Joshua 1:9. Lord, I pray that this group would be strong and courageous. They would not be afraid or discouraged. And that, you know, we go out back into the world, each one, wherever we go, that you, Lord, are always with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.